All right. Luke 10. We studied a bunch of stuff yesterday, but let's start in verse 10 and just read down for a while. Whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, the kingdom of God is here. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. I mean, I can't imagine what could be more tolerable. Sodom than for what they are getting. But anyway, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had great a while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. As we said, Chorazin, it's interesting that the name of the city in original Hebrew was Furnace of Smoke. It was 2 miles from Capernaum in Galilee. There's extensive ruins, but it was already at the time of Melito, it was already deserted. Bethsaida means house of fish. And there were two Bethsaidas, one in Galilee and one across on the other side. Well, that's the one that we talked about. I think it's the one. I'm not sure, but I think it's the one that he cast out the demons and they went into the pigs. It's on the western shore. The other Bethsaida is the home of Andrew, Philip, and John, the one that's on the Galilee side. Verse 13, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And we're going to spend a lot of time on repented. We're going to go through the Old Testament scriptures that repented is used in the New Testament and show the different kinds of repentance. Fundamentally, the true repentance is unconscious or becomes unconscious. And I'll explain that in a minute. Other repentance, there's always an attempt to do it. The same as dying to self. You're either dead or you're not. You can't try to die. So your death becomes unconscious to you. There's no, because the bottom line is there's no more self-awareness except when something is wrong. And that's the same as faith. Faith is not faith unless it's unconscious.
As opposed to subconscious?
Doesn't matter. Not aware of. Again, remember, the fruit of the fall was the mind was split. Let's look at that. Let's go to Matthew 18. Do you understand that? Does anybody understand what I'm saying? There's no conscious. Faith is unconscious or automatic.
Spontaneous,
whatever word. Without self-awareness, without thinking about it.
Yeah.
This is a biggie. All right, Matthew 18.
When you mentioned the your death and trying to and all that, at worst, we reckon it. Which you talked about a lot.
Yeah,
if you can't get unconscious, then you at least can reckon it.
Well, Well, that's the very beginning of beginnings. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now what does that mean? Let's talk about the things about you that were unconscious or that you had nothing to do with. Let's start first with your father. There were literally hundreds of millions of sperm cells that your father that could have become you or could have become somebody. The only one that became you, you had nothing to do with. Or your siblings, they had nothing to do with. The same is true with the egg. Each month, the new eggs. And that's another story we could get into later. But again, not hundreds of millions, but thousands. But the egg that you were joined to became you. That's fate. You had nothing to do with it. So go on through. On through the whole act of pregnancy. You had nothing to do with it. Nor did the mother. That's faith. When the child is born, has nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with when you were born. You had nothing to do with the formation of all of the parts of your body. You had nothing to do with the lungs or the heart being formed or the blood pumping. You had nothing to do with any of it. That's faith.
Faith on whose part?
Doesn't matter. Just bear with me. When you were a child, until this incredible time, somewhere between 18 months and 2.5 years, you became aware of self. But before that, all the activities of you, you had nothing to do with. Now what he's saying, except you be converted and become as a little child before self-awareness, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now that must scare us a little bit. Now what's the difference? What happened? What happened after that little child? When the fruit of the fall kicked in and had to do with the development of the brain. As the brain developed, at some that point in time there was an awareness, the capacity to be aware of yourself. And from that point on, there's been this being, Jazanai, if you will, masquerading as you. You had nothing to do with your name. You had nothing to do with what country you're born in. You had nothing to do with any part until that moment in time. Well, that's the fruit. That's the fall. Boom. That's where the fall in you manifested itself. Except to be converted and become as that little child before self-awareness, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Are you starting to understand what true repentance is? It's the abandonment of self in the same way that you, as that one-year-old child, were abandoned. That's faith. And it can only by the divorcing completely of you from you. That's faith. And the only way that can happen is when you know the stupidity and emptiness and futility and ridiculousness of your own life. You can't try to learn faith. You can't even try to repent. It
Everything else from that point is a fruit of the fall in your life. And the fruit of the fall is always to make bricks without straw. You have the capacity to think of something you want to do and the inability to finish it. And the ones that you finished, then you need, it has to be extended out to something else you can't do. So there's never peace. And the lack of peace is what drives you, or should be driving you, to repentance. And all it takes is being honest with yourself. Instead of living in this idiot world of all these ideas and opinions, which you got to know are stupid. Instead of you sitting in the temple of God showing yourself that you're God, because you judge for yourself what's good and what's right and what's wrong and what you take a stand on, and this is how you do this. Some would argue that's what a human being is. Yes, that's what the fallen human being is, an idiot. Remember, again, this is mystery of the Jewish language. The difference between Molech and Melech is one vowel point. And that one vowel point is the difference of whether you repented or not repented. Whether you remain as your own God or whether you've abandoned. If your thought process comes always from the low place, that's bima, the emptiness. Instead, in man, it always comes from the high place, the bama. It's even reflected in the churches. The speaker in the church is supposed to be at the lowest seat. No, he's in the bama, the high place. But it's not that high places that we're concerned with. It's the high places in here that we're concerned with. Can you understand that faith is automatic as long when you come to this end? But you've got to have the integrity. And I don't care if you're Ross Perot or the richest man in the world. You have reached a point where you come to that end. And that's end is end. I mean, it's not a little blip on the screen. It's not a little another jog in your path of life. It's the end of you. Now, unless you're an idiot, you won't like that at first, because it's the worst news that could ever be given to modern man. It's a threat to every form of thought there is in the face of the earth. Oh, it's nice to think about this, and people want to run and talk to you about it because it's different. Ollie, he's such a character. It happened again yesterday. I'm like a show pony. Tell him Ollie what to blah blah blah. You know. My point to you is, you've got to stop trying. You've got to see that you are at an end. You've got to see that today is Judgment Day. Now, does anybody have any response to this? Then why do you keep playing in the mud? You might be pretty mud, or better yet, why do you keep playing in the dung? What are you thinking, Gary? You got a weird look on your face.
Oh, it sounds contradictory that you've got to stop trying.
No, it's not what I said.
Exactly what you
Well, but I said before that, you've got this, you can't stop trying until you've seen the end.
I think that's the point. You see it.
But then you...
And you will stop trying.
No. You see it for a while, and you think it's a blip in the screen, or just a little bump in the road, and then you resurrect the evil one from the dead again. It's happened thousands and thousands and thousands of times. If you don't know it by now, then you probably, I don't know if you ever will know it.
I think you just turn the screen off.
Good. You don't even, you don't, you never, because you're not aware of yourself.
Yeah. Your whole being turns outward.
But that's the meaning of repentance. I don't think I've ever put it in all that package, but... Except you be converted and become as that little child. The becoming as that little child is repentance. And it doesn't take any effort. It takes integrity.
That child analogy is so incredible because a kid about a year and a half sits on your lap and they are a little child. There's no self-awareness. They're just so innocent and the attractiveness
Oh, yeah.
And it's just...
That's why you have kids. Not to have more hunks of protoplasm, you have kids to reveal that to you.
And then become rats.
Become idiots. Then you learn how to be a well-behaved idiot, but you're still an idiot. So much of this is based on behavior and identity. It's just, it's like, and I know a whole lot about that because that was my whole identity. I mean, it's just so absolutely insane. In fact, that's what the Bible calls insanity. It's when you're beside yourself. That means when you're outside the camp in terms of God, you're beside yourself. You've returned to self. That's called, it's called ungodliness. It's called crazy. And you are by the world's standards. Madman. Fun to have in a circus act, but that's about it. And pretty soon you stop getting invited to parties. Oh, and I'm not there. Nobody's there, but I'm just telling you where it is. Somebody must have some response to this.
I'm thinking about, not to be contrary.
No, go ahead.
But it is good news. When you've come to the end of dealing with your personal bullshit, and there's a way out, and it costs you that mess you've been trying to live with, yourself, and then you see a savior and you understand it and you can divorce yourself.
If you do.
You do?
No, you don't. Because what you do is now you're doing the same thing, but you're doing it in Jesus' name because you saw Jesus. You don't, your faith isn't automatic. Now it's just more.
Why do you say that?
Well, because I see it all over the place.
Seen a Christian?
I'm not saying they're not Christian. I'm saying they haven't repented.
So have you ever seen anybody who's repented?
A few.
You talk as if you haven't.
I've seen very rare, very rare people that have divorced themselves from themselves. I see many, many people who continue to try to use the same cause and effect, the same Christian principles to live their life, and they become just actors. That's good news, because someday something's going to happen. No, from what I see in the scriptures, that's not what it says. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now that sounds impossible. But the repentance then has to be from everything. It's a repentance from all systems and structures and methods of this world. All plans, all devices, all... It's an emptiness of whatever you thought, whatever talent you had. It's an emptiness from whatever intelligence you thought that you had. It's an emptiness from every opinion you had. And no, I don't see it very often. Maybe my eyes are clouded.
I'm just thinking while you're talking, I know the way it works in me is like I said something. Myself would like to make a principle out of that, give me a little stand, a small one. But then it's polluted. And that's why, to me, repentance is this ongoing process, because yourself will always be trying to find a little home. And even if you're talking great things about God, the minute you have a revelation about Him that's stupendous, can't hold on to it. I mean, and I'm just really repeating things you've said here. You look at it and you go, hey, that's cool, but to hold on to anything and try and use that to define and hold on to God doesn't, you suddenly then you're in the Antichrist world.
Yeah, I mean, it's this whole thing that you get, that this, it's these tells in the cosmic poker game. If you esteem or desire or want anything that the world wants or esteems, then you know you've left the mercy seat. You say you want love, but What the mind can, the mind's capacity for love is only self-love. I mean, you try to find somebody because you think you need them, and then you call that need love. Well, that's not love. It's not love according to the scriptures. Just one of the, there's 13 or 14 different words for love In the New Testament, in Greek. I mean, not in, there's 13 or 14 different words for love in the Greek language, and none of them explain love. So they invented agape. That's pretty big. We just have one word for love. And it's so far from. And I mean, that those definitions cause neuroses, and that's part of the issue, because you're still making bricks without straw in the relationships. It's what happened when you got married? And instantly, you thought it was love, but it wasn't love. It was something else, it's obvious. But the moment, because Judy didn't meet the standard of what your definition of love was, and I'm sure there was a point you said, I don't love her.
She failed on one.
Anyhow.
No, that love stuff is good. It's like you say, you want to love. Love means you pour yourself out without regard to what comes back.
Right, and the same is true with you want to. You can't be a friend by trying to be a friend. That's just as stupid as trying to die to yourself. If you want a friend, you be a friend. If you want love, you give it. There's nothing that you can get without you giving. I pray that you understand, and I pray that you have a taste of what true repentance is from this. As long as you think your mind can still figure this out, then you'll always be an observer. Take a big guy.